From Streamline Publishing and the Radio and Television Business Report, welcome to another great Hispanic radio podcast. I am your host, Adam Jacobson, and I am the editor-in-chief of the Radio and Television Business Report. And we thank our partners at Radio Inc. and HispanicAd.com for distribution of this Hispanic radio podcast. Today, we're going to talk about a conversation topic that is probably one that you've heard about for many years. The fact that we are even discussing it in today's podcast is quite distressing for me, but nevertheless needs to be addressed. It is minority discounts in media. The fact that we're having this conversation today with two esteemed university academics is one that I, as a journalist, never thought would happen at the end of 2018, but here we are. Tackling prejudices and dictates is something that is still on the lips and in the ears of many a marketer. And on February 6, 2018, the marketing communications agency's primary advocacy group, the 4As, issued a fair play charter to its members. The point of this action was to ensure that 4As members, media shops, and those media departments inside an agency pledged to recommit to fair and equitable treatment of minority media owners. The charter set off a renewed wave of discussion on this subject. We talked about No Urban Dictates 20 years ago. Here we are today talking about it now with two individuals who recently published in the Journal of Advertising Research data that contradicts prior studies that they believe undervalued multicultural audiences, leading to reduced spending within the ethnic broadcast media landscape. So for this Hispanic radio podcast, I welcome Dr. J.P. James of Salem State University in Salem, Massachusetts, and Dr. Tyra Lindsay Warren of Baylor University in Waco, Texas. Their research suggests that for minority discounts for ethnically charged for ethnically targeted platforms, well, it's tantamount to discriminatory actions. So welcome both Dr. James and Dr. Lindsay Warren to this podcast. How are you today?
Thank you.
So let's get going with some of these questions, and you can decide how you wish to answer. The subject of fair play. It seems media buyers are, again, steering clients away from ethnic radio stations. Hispanic media could be in the mix. What are your thoughts on this? I know that television, out-of-home ads, print, and radio are all kind of interconnected to this issue. So speaking specifically about radio serving Latino audiences, what can owners and managers do to combat this idea of minority discounts?
Okay, I'll go ahead and take this first. So all of the research that I've read, because I want to do a little digging into listenership of Hispanic radio, and all the numbers prove out that if a marketer wants to reach the Hispanic consumer, the data proves it. Hispanics 18 plus consume a little bit more radio than African Americans do, and obviously other ethnic groups as well as Caucasians. The formats are very popular. Spanish contemporary. There's a lot of crossover with millennials. So the data is there. You know, and these are from reputable sources. Nielsen, Arbitron all speak to this. However, like you said, going back to 1998, the situation of the No Urban Dictates as it was then, and that was primarily around African American radio, has not really gotten better in 20 years. And like I said, it's a shame that we're still talking about it. So you start go through tick off the reasons why, and it's like, well, I'm getting the audience reach there. There's probably a feeling that many marketers are getting the reach from general market, but that's not really the case because it's in Los Angeles specifically. Because I looked at that market, Spanish contemporary is a prime market. A prime platform to reach Hispanic consumers. So I don't want to call call it discrimination, but I have to say, if it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck, you can kind of assume what kind of animal it may be. So that's still a mystery to me why we're still talking about this in 2018, given the population growth in a lot of areas across the country.
And I would like to add, Adam, in regards to your question, you know, in our work, not only as academics, but as practitioners in New York, Chicago, and LA at various ad agencies, Dr. James and I know firsthand that Latino stations have this wonderful innate value to their audiences. And even in this climate where social media and digital is still, you know, continuing to increase and disrupt and do great things, radio still has a value because Latino audiences trust it. You know, they may hear a message, especially if we're talking Los Angeles, you know, from a KISS or a Power, but mm-hmm. they will trust the message, you know, coming from those Latino personalities on the AM stations in Los Angeles or maybe perhaps the smaller FM stations in Los Angeles. So in our minds, you know, Latino stations really have to continue offering the authentic and wonderful programming that they continue to do and continue to go out into the community even more and continue to strengthen those relationships as well as leverage other marketing mix tools at their disposal, like social and anything to continue to strengthen that consumer value. I truly think that's how they will win at the end.
I'm glad that you mentioned both KISS FM and Power 106 in Los Angeles, because as marketers are dealing with the total market climate where maybe an English language media outlet would be, quote, Latino enough for their buy, you're certainly getting the response from Spanish language media and marketers that, no, it's not enough. So I'm glad that we're discussing this. Going back to this whole concept, though, of minority discounts, it brings up a question. When you look at spending and you look at discretionary spending and you look at the spending habits of these so-called minorities, is there any empirical evidence that suggests that they're spending less than the total market or the Anglo consumer? I would venture to argue that these audiences, African American, Hispanic, are probably spending more in certain categories. So where does the whole concept of why a discount is even needed come to light?
Well, I think it goes back to the older way of how multicultural marketing was done, 10, 15 years ago, where things are very segmented. There was a difference among language about being Spanish dominant or English dominant. And I think that's carrying over into today. Now, a lot of these formats are still Spanish, deliver a Spanish speaking audience, and which is great. However, I think there's just this mindset among many marketers that, well, you know, I get more bang for my buck if I just kind of like if I just advertise on KISS FM, I'm going to kind of get everybody, and Latinos that live here, they're going to get the message anyways. But we know that that's not truthful. And like I said, Nielsen and respected resources show that Spanish dominant radio is key to getting certain segments of the population. Now, there are marketers like McDonald's, I want to say Boost Mobile, Verizon, or some that I found that are top of mind that are heavy advertisers in radio. So these marketers get it, and I'm sure they're seeing data that showing that Latinos over-index or overspend in those respective categories. However, given the spending power and the population growth of the Hispanic consumer, trying to really look at differences by Spanish language versus general market radio platforms, it's kind of going back to why we have some of these discounts, I believe. If the radio station is delivering that audience and it's up and coming upon the station to deliver the content, as Tyra was saying, there should really be no need for that. And I would challenge on some level that the radio station needs to, you know, continue to deliver the content to keep their audience.
I would also add, you know, we also going back to what you mentioned, Adam, at the top of the podcast in terms of the 4A's report, looking at the system, you know, the ad agency media buying system, there are, you know, not many, at least in my observation, media planners of color that are placing these buys. You know, I can easily talk to contemporaries now and say, hey, do you know such and such Spanish station in Los Angeles or Chicago? And they would say no, you know, because they haven't even been educated in the full scope of the radio offerings that they have to choose from. And a lot of times, Adam, they don't care to know. So that's another
frustration.
Yeah, that's another definite frustration.
Okay, well, that puts into perspective the next question I have for you, Dr. Tyra Lindsay Warren from Baylor University, and also for Dr. J.P. James from Salem State. Both of you are not strictly academic in nature. You both have advertising industry backgrounds. And just to give our listeners on the Hispanic Radio podcast a little bit more detail about what you've done prior to what you do now, Dr. James was an account executive at Young & Rubicam in the greater Los Angeles area from 1998 to 2002. He then was an account supervisor at Burrell, leading African-American agency in the U.S., went to Global Hue, went to Spike DDB, and then entered the academic world. And for Dr. Lindsay Warren, she was the director of public relations for 2 years at Uniworld, and that was after 6 years at LAI Communications. So both have a very, very deep background in media buying and in advertising. Which brings this question. Look at content. Look at content in African-American media. Look at content in Spanish language media. You've made the point that ethnic audiences don't solely tune to a Univision or a Telemundo or perhaps a BAT or TV1. They're kind of creating their own programming grid and they're watching programs for programs. So now let's put that into a radio industry perspective. You do have a lot of that cross-pollination with listening. You know, take Los Angeles, for example. Mega 96.3 has grown tremendously because it's the real outlet in Los Angeles for trap music and for the Latin urban sound, more contemporary than any other station for that genre. Well, I'm sure a Latino is listening to that station perhaps as equally as a Kiss FM or a Power 106. So that should be reflective in a media buy with one specific metric and one specific dollar rate. But that's not happening, is it? And if it's not, how do we get there? How do we shepherd the industry to that direction?
It's probably, I would say, again, it has to be an education lesson, you know, to the media planners, number one, about the value that that particular mega station is bringing to the Latino audience. And the value would have to be articulated in a three-sixty type of conversation to show the particular brands and the media planners that, you know, buying this station shows this type of ROI, not only for the short term, but the long term. Because that is the key, too, when you talk about this grid that consumers of color have to create in order to digest a full scope of media for their needs, right?
Yes.
We're going to always listen to the general market folks, but we're going to be loyal to no end to those stations that are in our community for the long term as well.
And before we close, do you have any last thoughts, Dr. James?
Yeah, I was just going to go back to talk about the language, about language being Spanish dominant versus being non-dominant, and looking at generations. Now, in our study, in our paper, we look specifically at television, but in radio, the dynamics may be a little different because, you know, we've got Spanish contemporary, which has got a little bit of crossover to it. And then we've got pop contemporary hit radio, which is kind of inclusive of everyone. But if we look at younger people, you know, there's a lot of music that's coming out that's fusion based. Like, for example, thinking about Kiss FM, for example, you know, you've got this song called Despacito. Hopefully my pronunciation is correct. There. This was a Justin Bieber, Luis Fonsi song that was created, and that had a strong Hispanic following, but also pulled in the general market as well. So it kind of, I'm just dovetailing really on what Tyra talked about the stations have to be able to deliver this content. And then if I start looking at this, and then maybe if the Spanish contemporary, if they start delivering artists that have a little bit more crossover, then we can think about radio in terms of just this universal medium. I think what happens now, and to Tyra's point she made earlier, is that a lot of marketers or even the agencies just kind of see Hispanic, and unfortunately in 2018, as an afterthought. It's like, okay, well, we have our general market plan. Oh, we have these X amount of dollars, which is maybe 1 or 2% of the budget that I need to allocate towards Hispanic media. So we're just going to do the typicals. We're just going to kind of throw, the Spanish radio stations a bone. And when that happens, that's how this fair play issue becomes a point. So if, like I said, if it's incumbent upon the agency as well as the advertiser, I think more importantly to drive that planning process, and then we'll see, that'll hopefully make things more equal.
Thank you, Dr. James. Thank you, Dr. Lindsay Warren. And with that, we're going to conclude this Hispanic Radio podcast. If you'd like to learn a lot more about what they say on the subject of minority dictates and all of the frustrations still faced by ethnic media, including Hispanic radio, we will include a link to the Hispanic CMO report that was released the week of November the 6th through HispanicAd.com and HispanicMarketOverview.com. So I want to thank both of our guests today. This is Copyright 2018 Streamline Publishing. I'm Adam R. Jacobson. Have a great day.